Hello, and welcome to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast. I'm Anthony Casella.
I'm Donnie Hatfield-Smith.
And I'm Quentin Lamar.
I am very excited for the guest that we have today. Kerry O'Donnell is with us, and he'll be coming out a little later, coming out as though we're in studio. We're in like a big NBC studio somewhere. But
we're
also,
we're not, Quinn.
Quinn, we're at home. It's a pandemic.
Okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, but, and I don't want to say any names because who knows what might happen, but we have some very, very, very big names in the Housewives world that that are hopefully coming on here in the next few weeks. And I think you guys are going to love it. That's all I want to say. I'm very excited. I'm also very excited.
Like it, cryptic.
I'm also very excited to say that I did not watch the Super Bowl this week, so I have nothing to say about it. Did anyone else not watch?
My friend has a party every year. She couldn't this year, obviously, but I normally only go for her. Like, what's on the TV does nothing for me. So it was nice to not... I mean, I'm sad I didn't see her, but it was nice to not have to look at that.
Yes.
I mean, I keep track of just like... I come from like a big sports family, so I keep track of who wins and who's in the Super Bowl, but I didn't really watch. I do kind of wish I'd watched some of the commercials, but I decided not to at the last minute. And I also didn't watch the performance. So I guess I really didn't care that much.
I guess not. I usually get excited about the commercials, but now they release them like the day of. So what is one to look forward to during the show if I'm already being handed a commercial with Winona Ryder and Timothée Chalamet 5 hours before? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's there to look forward to?
And even now,
I mean, it's the game for a lot of people. A lot of people.
Well, not us.
I mean, I know
Housewives
that,
is just, our game.
Yeah. It is our Super Bowl. Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, like, some people are okay with that. I think it helps people. Oops, I just dropped.
What in the fuck is going on here?
I just dropped this big,
you okay?
Like, bulletin. Oh, I'm fine. I just dropped this bulletin board. But as I was saying, I think that some people are okay with like seeing the commercials beforehand.
I wouldn't understand that.
Well, I can't handle it. Yeah, I didn't watch a lick of it. So that was a great topic for me to bring up. But anyway, how are you guys?
I don't know what I watched this week. When Atlanta was pulled, I mean, it wasn't pulled. It was announced that it wasn't going to be on. But I feel like it threw my whole week off.
Every year, I have no idea when the Super Bowl is, but I find out because I learned that it's the same. They don't air Atlanta. And I always wonder is there a big overlap with Atlanta fans or whatever's airing on Sunday? But I feel like it tends to be Atlanta. Like, why not just air it?
Well, I think like you don't want to compete with the Super Bowl because that's a really big thing, not just because of the game, but because of like, you know, who the guests are. Like, why put yourself in that position to like, you know, because most people are going to be at Super Bowl parties or whatever. Anyway, even the gays who don't care about sports have Super Bowl parties. So
couldn't be me. And no, that makes
sense. We go to a gay Super Bowl party every year.
That makes sense. Of course. I want what I want.
I get it.
Why don't we head over into some hot topics, Donnie?
Sure. So I don't know if it's because of the Super Bowl or what, but this was a very, we'll call it a slow news week. So these topics are kind of all over the place. We have one that I feel like would be newsworthy any other week, but the other two, I'm kind of reaching for straws here. I just wanted something to bring to the table.
Hey, I brought up the Super Bowl on a Housewives podcast. So I think
he was
clearly
desperate.
I think we could go wherever you want.
So let's go then. Yeah. So Brandi Glanville this week, she's been tweeting up a storm. First she tweeted to Armie Hammer and said, "Dear Armie Hammer, you can have my rib cage, heart emoji. How do you just keep getting hotter and hotter? # let's BBQ."
Iconic. That's an iconic tweet.
Yeah, I mean, people are up in arms about this, and I understand why, but I'm giggling saying it.
Of course. I've
said
these things
somehow,
in private chats.
Somehow that grasp and being relevant is more disgusting than what he's accused of. So I think I can see why people are kind of upset about that.
Oh, I make a joke like this once a day to someone. I just like repeat it to someone who I don't think has heard it. Yeah, he can slice a piece off of me and fry me up with some fava beans and a Chianti. What's the phrase from Silence of the Lambs?
I think that was close enough.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's close enough to be in poor taste.
Am I canceled?
So well done.
Yeah, it definitely.
I think I might cancel you for that.
I mean, it's good news. Anthony messaged me right before this podcast that they don't think Armie Hammer is that serial killer anymore. So that's
that is good. That is good news.
So it's some other white man. Got it. Yeah.
The other white meat. So then Randy doubled down, and I don't have this tweet. But she doubled down and basically said, like, it's just a joke, get over it. And then I guess her
me.
Then I guess her people really told her what the Armie Hammer situation was. So then she tweeted later in the night and said, guys, in all capitals, I did not know the extent of what's being alleged against Armie Hammer. I just read he was getting divorced and thought he was hot. No more headline porn for me. I have learned my lesson.
Those are two lies. The first lie is that she didn't know. The second lie is that she's learned her lesson. Those are both lies.
I don't believe her. No. The Armie Hammer story is like
everyone. It's ubiquitous. It's
absolutely. And for the record, I feel like I shouldn't have to say this, but I will just in case. I am being facetious about my kind of like flippance about the allegations surrounding Armie Hammer.
I think the early allegations that he was like an alleged cannibal or that kind of stuff, I think that was easy to joke about. But then since then, it has come, you know, abuse allegations and stuff.
Yes.
And
yes,
that's
yes.
what we're not joking about.
No, we are.
I haven't
really followed, and
honestly, I haven't really followed the abuse allegations. Like, I figure what he did or what he said was like bad enough. As far as the abuse, I'm assuming that these women didn't want to be cannibalized consensually. So I'm figuring that that's what the issue is here, because I don't really understand. This is a kink that I've never seen before, and I've seen some shit. So right. I don't really know how to. I just thought like he was like in some Marquis de Sade type shit, but this seems to be a little bit more extreme than that, which is, I mean, how you get on the radar as being a possible serial killer, which if we can take a moment to think about how iconic it would be if Armie Hammer had turned out to be the serial killer, we would literally be seeing these movies for the next 50 years. But I hope they catch whoever did it. And I would hope that somebody's apologized to him for like saying that, because I'd have to say that's kind of damaging. I mean,
I think he's pretty damaged as it is.
He's damaged, but I mean, like, I think that's a pretty big thing. Like, oh, like, you know, you're assaulting people, so now you're a killer too, like a serial killer. I think that's like a bit.
It's a leap, but as I said, I don't think people are rushing to watch Rebecca these days on Netflix. So
I will still continue to watch The Social Network and Call Me By Your Name whenever I please. And I need everyone to know that.
His character in Call Me By Your Name was a monster anyway. So sometimes I guess art imitates life.
Yeah, there we go. Really quick, just about Brandy again. She was absolutely lying because she said, you can have my rib, let's barbecue. And then she said, she just knew he was getting divorced. So where's this rib come from, Brandy? So then moving on. And there's really not a segue here. I was trying my best to think of one, but you're not getting one. Lisa Barlow did not appear on Watch What Happens Live this week because she put nail glue in her eye instead of her eye drops. That's the story.
When I heard this,
I think the question,
I felt it.
How much Vita tequila? How much Vita tequila does she have to mistake clear eyes for a bottle of super glue?
She said the containers are the exact same size and that her housekeeper messed it up. So
I didn't think they put glue in. Like,
and it's
like
certainly not
an eyedrop container.
Like, yeah, that it's small? Certainly not the same like consistency. Like, super glue.
That's a really
would not
weird
drip
thing.
Yeah, that's strange. That's strange. It sounded painful. Of course, I'm sure it was. Yeah. She's lucky she didn't go blind.
Yeah, the doctor said that she'll be fine by Friday. So. We'll check back in at the end of the week.
We'll see if Friday.
So it was just basically a little outpatient thing.
I'm guessing, right? I felt like it was so weird I needed to talk about it.
No, yeah, that's good.
Well, it's not the only glue incident in the headlines. So, like, that's the thing that was, like, killing me. Yeah. I'm like, what is it with people not knowing how to use glue? I find that troubling, but, you know.
What's the other glue story?
Haven't heard about that woman who used Gorilla Glue to, like, hold her hair in place? Like, she ran out of, what was it, like, some kind of extra hole spray? So she used Gorilla Glue? I haven't.
Oh, my God.
And she's been all over the internet and like TikTok and everything. Like she went to the hospital. She explained how she did it. Like somehow that justifies the mistake she made. Like, you know, like this is what happened. And I'm like, so you ran out of spray that's supposed to hold your hair and you decide to use something that's advertised, which I saw hold a couch to a ceiling. That to me, you know, but after this last election cycle in 2016, I believe everybody's an idiot anyway. So
that must have been what Candace used at the winery because that wig did not come off. So my last order of business, Nene has been dropped by her entire team. She's no longer represented by her PR company, her former manager, her former attorney. So she went to Twitter and said, "You can't turn on your teammate and get away with this." And then tagged all of the people I just named. And then she said, "Suppression, retaliation, discrimination, unequal pay, devaluation against Black women is real. It's painful and it hurts. I will fight for all women rights." And then in all capitals, "P.S. Fix it."
She's an unreliable narrator.
Yes.
Which is unfortunate when she's talking about things of this magnitude. But she's not even, not to say prove it, but it's I want to know more. Do you know what I mean? Like, I want to know more.
Yeah.
But because nothing has ever happened like this, because we haven't heard anything like this before, does not mean it's not true.
I'm pretty sure it's true. I mean, I totally believe that. But, you know, this, like I said, this story would have a whole lot more weight if we hadn't seen with our own eyes her not doing her job and attacking people physically.
Right.
We saw what led to you being diminished on the show. We saw all of that. We saw you not performing. So for you to now turn around and say, like, this is all racism, there may be elements of racism, I'm sure. But there's also an element of you not doing your job, you putting your hands on people who are part of the crew, and your people dropped you for a reason. Like, these people dropped her for a reason. The moves that she's made since then, she didn't march at all for George Floyd, but she marched for herself. Like, I can show so many examples of where I feel like she's just been all out for herself. I would hate to say that she's using racism as a tool, because that's something that literally makes me sick to my stomach. I hate when anybody uses their identity as a way just to get ahead. It diminishes from the real issue. So, but from what I've seen from Nene, that's what she's doing here. And I mean, I feel bad for her because she left on like such a bad note that the narrative's already been set. Like, she can't do anything. She looks disgruntled. She looks bitter. She can't move away from that.
Yeah, it makes me sad because she already, like you said, she left the network on a bad note and left the show on a bad note. But now I feel like she is cutting any bridge that she continued to have. Mm-hmm. Like, she was close with Wendy Williams and then she came after her. And then now her whole team dropped her because she just kept talking and stuff. So I don't know what she'll have left at the end of the day. And that's sad.
It is sad.
Lounge.
It is sad. I mean, Nene, in her prime, was a top tier grade A housewife, one of the truly funny, only funny housewives we had. Like, not one liners, but just like her whole being was funny. And it's hard to know what happened here, because like you said, she has been violent with the crew and she has refused to do her job. And those things normally would equal out to a demotion of some sort, less money, or not the same kind of raise as the other women are getting. It's hard to know what happened here, I guess, is the main thing. But it's sad because I love Nene.
Yeah,
I do too. I think the easy way to explain it is she went Hollywood and she just never, after she went away and did her things like Apprentice and The New Normal, she never was the same after that. She tried to fit back into something I think she had outgrown. And then she tried to force that to be bigger for her when I think she should have made moves to do what she wanted to do outside of Housewives. She didn't make those moves. She didn't make those connections. She didn't. I've seen opportunities where I feel like Nene could have thrived and she didn't take those avenues for whatever reason. And she tried to force herself back into something that she never should have returned to. And
yeah, you know,
and now here she is. It's unfortunate.
Tale as old as time. We are joined by our guest this week. He is a writer. He is the co-host of Sex Unique Podcast, and he is a truly hilarious presence on Twitter and Instagram. If you are not following him, you need to. Truly, truly funny. Please welcome Carrie O'Donnell. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi. Thank you for being here.
I feel humbled.
That was a good intro.
Wonderful.
What was your first? Tell us a little bit about your first Housewives experience. Like, how did you get into them? What was the first city you watched?
My mom actually told me about it when I think I was still in high school, maybe, when Real Housewives of OC was first coming out. Because that was like 2006, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I was still in high school. My mom was like, I'm watching this show. It's really funny. And I didn't really get into it until I was in college. Probably the first season of Beverly Hills, where I committed. Because I would watch Housewives of New York. Like, I got into that a little, but like the one I was fully kind of entrenched with was Beverly Hills. And then I went back and New York became also those two became like my rocks, I guess.
Yeah, Beverly Hills was an incredible first season. Like, you couldn't write that kind of reality TV.
And like, also, like, so deeply tragic. Like, the first two seasons were like, like Twin Peaks. Like, it was
Lynchian.
Very Russell, just the whole, like, you know, Mulholland Drive.
It was dark.
It was very dark. And at New York with Kelly Bensimon and Barry Island, like, all that, that was like classic.
So, you love a dark energy, I'm getting.
I love kind of haunted things. So I feel like, but also just, they were just the most dynamic, I feel, in the beginning. And then Atlanta. So those three cities, I feel like, are kind of the benchmark of which I compare the rest to, like, especially in the beginning of Atlanta with Nene and Kim. And
classic.
I think Sheree is like a very underrated, underutilized housewife. And I think she doesn't get the credit she deserves for being so funny and just ready to get in there to fight and just iconic. So that, I think those three cities for me are like my trifecta.
Definitely. Do you remember, or does anyone remember, before season two of Beverly Hills aired, and it was like a month before it was set to air, and that's when, this is dark, I'm sorry, that's when Russell killed himself, and it was like up in the air about whether or not they were going to air the season. Mm-hmm. That was like a really weird moment in Housewives history, but then they aired it.
And they did that weird like
meeting.
They all like went to, and they were all like, yeah, it's really sad, and it felt like really forced and strange.
Very strange. Yes. Yeah.
That was dark. I'm gonna be really honest. Okay. Hopefully this doesn't alienate your listeners, but on my YouTube recommended, somehow it came up Taylor Arms, like the 911 call. They have Radar Online leaked it. And I was like, I saw it and I was like, am I going to do this? And I like listened to a little bit of it and I had to turn it off. And I just, I know that sounds really bad. There was one part where Taylor, you just hear her in the background and she goes, I need to call my psychiatrist. Like very quickly. And I was just turn it off. This is, crossing into another level. So yeah,
no, sometimes you can't help yourself. I'm sorry to our listeners as I laughed over that. That was nervous laughter. That was like a really, that's a dark story, but
I didn't even know that existed. So yeah, that's dark.
On YouTube. Next to like a
I mean, of course,
like a Mandy Moore video.
YouTube is an access of hell.
It is. It is. It's like the hell mouth that like is portable. It's terrible.
It's a total hell mouth. Yeah, and Radar Online just has a storied relationship with all the ladies, I feel like, in general.
Oh, yeah. Lisa definitely was selling stories and stuff. Speaking of hell, let's go to Dallas.
So we start the episode where we left off last week, which I guess we're all very happy about, where Brandy's birthday party at that winery that looked more like a church, I guess. The ladies play like, whose panties is it? And each woman decorated a pair of underwear as a gift for Brandy. It's just a guess who made each pair. Now, I don't. What do we think about this game? Because like, I feel like to see grown women playing this game is a bit a little cringeworthy to me. This is a very sorority thing to do, which is fine. But I wouldn't want to watch my mama play it. So how do y'all feel?
Yeah, I've never played Whose Panties Is It? But in high school, we had an underwear Pollyanna where we just like pulled names out of a hat like Secret Santa. But then you had to buy underwear for someone. And this is very similar to me. I just don't understand why like 50-year-old women decorating underwear with poop stains is like the name of the game here.
No, yeah, not my game. And it was strange because they had to, like, you were giving underwear panties to someone, but like in the purse, like in the personality of you, like it was very odd. Like I couldn't even wrap my head around it.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
They made it sound like it was like a thing that everyone does. Like I was,
yeah,
like,
they did.
And it did. That place really did look like a church and also very like Midsommar, like the whole, just with like the head on the pike and like what was all that was just like very pagan.
And then yeah. Poor Patricia during this whole panty thing, she just comes up and says, what what day is the best day to drink wine? Any day that ends in Y. Like, all right, now's not the time, Patty.
She didn't get the note.
Patricia read that employee manual and she had one job and she was gonna do that shit. All right. So I applaud her professionalism.
It was weird how like the room was so big that the table got smaller every time I looked at it. So it was like this room that was never ending. And it was like six women sitting at like an Alice in Wonderland table that just seemed to be like falling in on itself, you know, as Captain Brandy sat nearby silently judging.
I was also very just unclear on Jen's presence, the redhead woman that's just like being foisted upon us now.
Silent.
I guess they're trying to kind of introduce her as possibly like a new housewife, but I'm like, and when she offered up her panties, I was like nervous for her because I was like, oh, they're gonna be like, oh, thanks, Jen, because like they don't really know her, and I felt awkward for her, but also awkward for them. The whole thing was making me very uncomfortable, and I felt bad that she had to like. She probably doesn't know Brandy. She's like, oh, redhead. You know, I was just very like, oh.
Yeah. That was
It's kind of colorist how they have to be friends because of their hair color. But then it's like, my thing is like, this was like, if you're going to accept this game, which I barely did, like, this seems like a bachelorette party game at best. So it just, you know, sitting in the middle of a church winery somewhere in Texas that nobody would ever want to go to. I thought it was a little strange, but I did play along to see if I could guess whose underwear belonged to who. And I was right a couple of times. Like, I'm assuming I'm not the only one who did this.
I played along.
I did a little bit.
I knew. Were you right? I got the one right when I forget whose it was. I think it was Tiffany's, and she said it was Cameron's. But they were like black lace with purple feathers and then a pearl on it. That is not Cameron. I knew Cameron's was going to look like the burn book when she took it out of that bag. And that
was great. Stephanie, I guess, but the rest, well, yeah. I was a little like, they were all kind of so basic.
Yeah. Well, not to like poo-poo on you, Carrie, but Stephanie's was the last one. So, that's the one you guess, I'm not here to give you a point.
I feel like she was the most, I was like, of course that would be her. I guess that is true. I'm like trying to be profound about that, and it was like, oh, it was the last one.
It's disgusting. So also at this winery, Cameron and Carrie both gang up on Tiffany and call her two-faced for forcing Cam to drink dim sum. Wait, it was sake. What was she drinking? It wasn't
dim sum. Yeah.
Oh, after dim sum. Okay. Anyway, Carrie forces her to drink tequila. She's saying she's two-faced, and that Tiffany explained that that's not what two-faced means, and that they really were calling her contradictory. And then Carrie comes out with her, "I'm sorry, I'm Mexican" response, which I laughed out loud when she said that, especially given coming off the Leanne season. I was like, oh, the fucking nerve. So she says that, and then Tiffany responds with, "You know, I'm Chinese. What does that mean?" And that her first language is Chinese. So, like, what? I love this moment. Did everybody love this moment? Because I mean, this, to me, this is why you actually get a real minority into a group. Because they pretended Carrie was a minority in the last episode. And I said it before and I'll say it again. She's a white woman that speaks Spanish. And so I love this.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it really showed Tiffany's, just seeing someone coming in this late and like when this show has been so established, just this outsider coming in, just being like, wait, that doesn't make sense. And only, and obviously like her experience as the one minority, real minority on the show, just being like, no, you can't say that. Like, it was just, it was great to see her catch them and that kind of fuckery. And I think Cameron's ganging up on her is very, Cameron is, I am, she's so grating to me and like, just so, I find her to be kind of twisted, and she really is targeting Tiffany, and it's like not fun to watch, but seeing Tiffany handle it so well is really great.
Yeah, and I think that they're not built to be able to take it back. I think they're built to just throw it out there and hope that it does its damage. So when Tiffany can, you know, hit them back with something, I really like how how unsoothed they're left.
Yeah, I loved it. I didn't even know like how to process it, because if Tiffany wasn't there and the rest of them were just boring white people, like, Carrie would have gotten away with it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like if Deandra had said that to her, like if it wasn't Tiffany and Carrie said that to someone, she would have gotten away with it.
Yeah.
So in my head, like I was confused, like, wait a minute, I've never seen this before on a Housewives where like it's a situation that has never kind of happened before and was so specific. And Tiffany's right. Was it Carrie who was using that word? Like, that's not the right word.
Well, first,
Cameron isn't the right phrase.
Yeah, Cameron used it wrong.
Or Cameron. Yeah.
Well, then when Carrie said that, you weren't the first one to say it. So, like, fine, you're Mexican, but Cameron's just a fucking idiot. Can we talk about that then? Because there's two people saying two-faced.
I think the words they wanted were hypocrite.
Yeah.
Or what's the other one? Oh, the one that Tiffany said. But it's not two-faced.
Yeah. No.
I don't know. I feel like Cameron's like playing this role where she's like supposed to be an airhead. And I think she's like, she's gotten too invested in the role. Like, she can't stop. They talk about how smart she is. And I'm like, where? Like, I don't see proof of this in second season, or her first season. I kind of saw proof at the end, because I went from not liking Cameron to liking Cameron when she, you know, was like, you know, being really like thorough about how Leanne was being treated. And now without Leanne, I don't think I like Cameron. Like, to me, her defending Leanne was my only like redeeming quality, I would say. Mm-hmm. And not to say that Leanne wasn't without her problems, but this whole thing with her targeting Tiffany, like Carrie said, it's like very obvious, and it's like, it's a reach. It's just not a good look for this, you know, woman who's coming in and like being a big enough person to like really get past Brandy's racism, which I think she should get a lot of credit for, because I can't say I'd be able to do that shit. So I think like they should be a lot more tolerant to Tiffany than like, you know, calling her COVID girl and all that.
I'm also just so like, Tiffany's just how casual and how like strong she is about being a doctor during COVID is just like kind of also really compelling to watch. And just seeing how like matter of fact she is about it, and against these other women who like are not taking it that seriously, it is like very, I'm like, okay, at least we have Tiffany.
Like, thank God somebody believes in science. It was like, I think very indicative of like what we've seen from Texas. It was like, you don't care about the frontline workers, you don't care that she's doing this. And it's like, I was very disturbed by that, you know, that they were able to just be like, you know, whatever. But it's Texas, so.
They go to a bar, like, they shut a bar down for them, and, like, someone has to work there. And it's like, they get to just run around without masks on. I was just like, this is, like, it's hard for me to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, like, great to watch them doing all that stuff, like, you know, anyway. But, yeah, we'll get to that. So we get back to the fight between Cam and Carrie versus Deandra and Tiffany. And then Carrie drops her daughter as like contemplating suicide on the table. Again, like this to me looks like something that she's just weaponized, that she's just trying to milk to get, I don't know, sympathy or to get some kind of high ground.
That was one of the darkest, most shameful things I've ever seen a housewife do. And truly, she's just like throwing both of her daughters to the wall and seeing what could stick storyline wise. This is the same episode where she pulls her other daughter into a scene and was like, I know you don't like talking about the divorce, but maybe you'll like talking about it on camera. Like just really trying to milk her daughters for like storyline purposes. And then like using what they're going through or what the daughter who was depressed and having suicidal thoughts, like using that as like her feeling so you can't attack her, right. Which is... It felt very low. Like Carrie doesn't seem to be struggling when she's getting sprayed with champagne bottles at her 50th birthday. So like, it's not, Carrie seems to be in a good mood when she's screaming at Deandra. She just seems to be being an asshole. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, we're not really seeing Carrie struggle. We're just seeing her use her daughter's struggles as, you know, a reason for her own bad behavior.
Yeah. I feel like she tried to shut it down when she said, sorry, I'm Mexican. And then when that didn't work, then she knew that this would shut people up.
Yeah. I also like the last season when she first came on and her daughter was so rude to her. I was like, God, I hate that girl. And now I just have a lot of empathy for her because I'm like, your mom just sucks. Yeah. And like, it's clear her kids don't like her. And like, maybe this is a reason because she doesn't actually hear them or care about what they're going through unless she can use it for herself. It's very weird parenting.
It's on the heels of her weaponizing her accent and her all of that. That was like a lot in a short amount of time. They really, to me, it was like we're seeing like behind the curtain. We're seeing the wizard behind the curtain here, and it was like very cringeworthy to me.
Yeah, she's not.
Great. I do like that. I do like that Deandra was like sticking up for Tiffany during that fight.
Yeah, that'll serve Deandra well. I don't love Deandra, but when she's being screamed at by Carrie, I'm like, okay, I guess I'm with Deandra. And now that she's like backing Tiffany, I'm like, I guess I'm with Deandra this season.
There are some housewives that I like or dislike based on how they treat my favorites. So Deandra backed the right one this time. And she's in my good graces.
I love Deandra. I think she's messy.
Me too.
There's like this kind of macabre, like I hear like funeral organs every time. She has so much, like she has like the dynasty thing, the trust fund, the father, you know, she just has a lot, but she's also, I think, like trying, and she's very self-absorbed, but I do think she has a heart. I loved when she was just bragging about, she was like, Tiffany's so smart. And she was just telling all these things she did. And Carrie was like, that's all she cares about. I was like, no, she's just impressed. Yeah. Like talking about her friend, really brilliant and like graduate, like these incredible accomplishments. And the women are so kind of provincial in a way that they're like taking that as like a dig on them. Cause they're so like self-absorbed. It's just, so I don't know. I like Deandra.
I like that too. Tiffany is like amazing. She was an MD when she was 23.
Right.
I hadn't even mastered washing my clothes correctly by then. Like that's a big deal. And I think Deandra recognizes that. You know, I don't know anybody. None of my friends are 23 years old with MDs. Like, I mean,
none of my friends are 23 years old.
Yeah.
Well, they were 20 years
all ago. Old. 10 years ago.
Getting back to this little excursion in, what was it, Grapevine, Texas?
That's right.
That sounds like they wouldn't like me. So they go to a bar that does not look like a place you want to be in during a pandemic. They have forever. This weird thing where, I think, or ever. Did it look like fun? Did it make you miss not going out? I mean, going out before the pandemic?
No, not that.
No. I'm in recovery, so I don't drink anymore, but like just it brought back like day drinking PTS to me, and just like I was feeling how like fucked up they were all getting. And I loved periodically looking back and seeing Brandy and Carrie having this like deep talk, and just knowing trying to imagine everything coming out of Brandy's mouth was probably just like just her saying absolutely nothing, but like in a drunk, profound way.
I mean, I've definitely, like, I've been not at that bar. I've been at that bar where it's like 1 p.m., 2 p.m. and someone's like, can I talk to you? And like, they pull you over, like, away from everyone. And you're having a conversation that's like about nothing, but everyone's drunk and you can feel everything just like sliding downward. So yeah, that was like, I've seen myself in that. In that bar, but not that bar.
Well, the behavior wasn't the problem for me. If they were having that conversation in that winery room still, I wouldn't have flinched. But this bar was disgusting. And then the fact that there is, she didn't put it on her face because it was a pandemic, but the fact that there is a beard on the wall that people can take off and put on their face, how many faces has that been on? Too many.
Well, now it's been on her crotch because right. That's just the class act that Brandy is. But I mean, like I said, I found it refreshing that these rich women were able to do something that I personally would turn down doing. If somebody like, you know, hey, you want to go to a winery? And no, I'm good. You know, I'm just going to watch some TV. You know, it was nothing to do.
In this bar, like, who would want to do any of that? The shopping was like a little fun. Like, it was like a little like, you could be there and have fun, but everything else seemed dark and unpleasant. Oh,
where was everyone? It was like everyone had like raptured.
It's like they were social distancing, but nobody, the town was, but they weren't. It was very, very strange. I noticed that too.
I was like, everyone's in hiding. Cause at that point, I think Texas was like ICU capacity. It was like 110% or something. And but they're just like running around, running amok in this town being like,
yeah, well, that's what Deandra said. She had the bar was normally closed, but she had it open for filming. I wonder if they did that for the stores and stuff too.
Where Stephanie thought she bought a paddle at some dollar store. Like, what kind of dollar store has a spanking paddle? Like, that's clearly a cutting board.
Lord.
But I mean, we can't ignore Brandy teaching them to all dance badly. Like, what was that? That was like, it was like the butterfly, but it was kind of like it was like the broke back butterfly. It was very, I was alarmed as somebody who knew what dance she was supposed to be doing.
I'm done with Brandy. I'm ready to cut her loose. I don't like watching her. Was this the episode where she like was talking to herself in the mirror?
That was strange.
Yeah. That was weird. That was like a horror film.
This daughter needs to be like a priest for an exorcism. That I'm concerned for that baby around that. I'm just saying that. I think that oldest daughter is like sinister. The way she talks to her mom and the way she acts, I'm just like, I am fearful for this family and they need to check their food at night.
I don't know if it's Brinkley or Brooklyn. Are those the names? One of those daughters
Brinkley. Brinkley's the older
okay one. Brinkley has like anger issues. Like Brandy will be like, what do you want for McDonald's? And she'll be like, nothing from you, you old hag. Like, it's so
she's like, the power of hell commands you. and Brandy's just like, okay.
She's evil. And I don't like saying that about kids, but
what do we do? It's okay to say. Okay.
Thank you, Carrie.
I don't know. I mean, like, if I know there's a bias against redheads, and I'm gonna say she's not helping it. Not at all.
Not helping the cause.
She's not helping her people. I mean, because like whenever they have scenes with Brandy, like when I see scenes with like Tiffany and her kids, I'm like, oh, this is fun. These kids are cute. Like, I love it. And then it's like, oh, Brandy's driving these little motherfuckers somewhere. Oh God. Like, it's just, I could do without that.
So let's
like
talk my, about like
my, whoop, my whipping hand.
Yeah. Cause I'm itching just talking about Brandy.
I want more of Tiffany's kids. They're adorable.
They are.
I like when they're like, are you my mom actually?
Oh yeah. I love that. She was like, is she really your mother? She's like, really part of the family? Tiffany's like, she's my mom. Like, yes.
That was cute. That was
so funny to me. We end with the scene of Tiffany at home where she like talks about how she's, you know, at the top of the mountain. She's worked so hard and now she doesn't know why she climbed it. And she feels like she's disappointing everybody in her life, especially her children. And I think that this is a very important conversation that a lot of people who are career driven end up having. And it was good to see her have it. because she's been so driven. And, you know, I thought it was very great to see her have this conversation with her husband, personally.
I think Tiffany is someone who, and I love Tiffany, but I think what we're seeing is someone who in part became a doctor because on some level she thought it would get her mother's approval.
Mm.
And now she's found that that's not the case. So now that hole inside of her is even bigger. And that's where joining a reality show comes into play. Because on some level, anyone who joins a reality show wants like acceptance and approval from like America. And I think that's a little bit of what we're seeing here.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it was really compelling and important to hear someone who has like an immigrant experience of like coming here and just kind of the impossible standards of, you know, what it must be like for someone to come to America and feel like they have to like live up to the standard. And I don't think we've really ever had that before, like on a show. And I was like emotional listening to her because it was, you know, it was sad, but also really impressive and like, and endearing. I thought of to like, I felt more endeared to her and like, I felt like I understood her more.
It was, yeah, it was great. And spoiler alert, I'm not a doctor, but I feel like everyone can relate to her crying and like have doing something or having done something. And when you're in it, or when you've got to it, whatever it is, not knowing why you were there or like why you did it or why you wanted it. Yeah. And that can be like being outside of that and being like, why did I do this? Why did I waste my, or why did I spend my time doing this? I don't feel different from this thing that was supposed to make me feel like shiny and new. I think like on some level, everyone can relate to that. So it was a great scene. Definitely very endearing.
Yeah, it reminds me like of Wendy Asefo from Potomac and how, you know, going through the similar thing, being a first generation from immigrants. And that's like something, like you said, like that's something that we don't, you know, if you're born here, like generationally, you don't understand that. But like hearing Wendy say, like, I was named Wendy because my father's first job was Wendy, like that hit me in the same way as hearing Tiffany say that. And to flex my own psychological training muscles here, I'll say that I think we should be having conversations about what's really important with self-actualization and what part material success plays in the grand scheme of like being a happy person or other notes that you need to hit in order to be an overall successful person. If you don't do those things, achieving one won't offset the other one and make you happy. So I'm interested to see what route she's going to take to figure out what she really wants. I'm very excited for her for that.
Yeah. And I think the Wendy comparison's great too. And I didn't, because Potomac's my favorite franchise, and I love Wendy, and she, having her and Tiffany, I think are like game changers. And I don't know. I think the women kind of gave Wendy grief too for always like listing her accomplishments, but I always want to hear them because it's crazy. And like, I don't know anyone with those kind of accolades. So like, that's, I like to hear it. And I think it's impressive and cool that they're just on these shows, just kind of saying it like it is,
yeah,
who they are and what they are. So
I agree. And that wraps it up. We can finally leave Texas.
Let's move on to Utah. okay. I have a question. Who knew the word stanchion?
I didn't
know the word stanchion. Stanchion's like this word that you're either like born knowing or like you just heard it last Wednesday, right?
That is not true.
When did you learn it? Oh, but Quinn, you worked
I just at... heard it last Wednesday.
I worked at a video store, and we had a lot of like movie-esque things around it. Yeah, we had stanchions to keep people from the register. So that's when I learned in high school.
What video? Okay. Was it Blockbuster?
No, it was Suncoast Motion Picture Company in the mall back in the day. Back when malls had video stores.
There was also West Coast Video, which I loved.
West Coast?
I remember West Coast.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, they were like our...
I don't remember that.
I think we absorbed them or they absorbed us, something like that.
Wow. Look at this
background. They were the enemy back in the day.
Yeah, I had never heard it before. I turned to Brian while we were watching and I was like, do you know what the word stanchion is? He's like, of course. Like, I don't know. It's like this word. Do you know the Sex and the City episode where Carrie's like, I guess everyone's running home at night, backing up their hard drive. Like, that's what the word stanchion is. Just people sitting on like the word stanchion, ready to like everyone, shame.
Whitney knows. Whitney.
Yeah.
I was like,
Whitney walked in and said, beautiful stanchions. I was like, what? Weird. Weird.
I was like, who told you that? Like, how do you know?
I have a theory that Whitney is a production plant. She's like drummed up most of the drama on the season, and I felt like someone was in her ear being like, Whitney, say this. And I feel like someone even called her on her way to the place from the gym and was like, when you walk in, just say beautiful stanchion.
Just to roll her up. I'm going to support that theory because she's Heather's cousin, but she only refers to Heather as her friend, and she uses Heather's full name every time. She's like, Heather Gay is my friend. Okay, she's not. She's your cousin.
Yeah, that's not how you refer to cousins.
Right? That's not true. Full names. That's not true.
As friends.
That's not true. My mother calls her cousin Deborah Bailey every time by Deborah Bailey, and I think that's because growing up there were a lot of Deborahs, and maybe there are quite a few Heathers there. So I can just say that I know somebody who calls their cousin by their full name. I've never heard anybody say a stanchion was beautiful. So that's why I would.
Yes.
That was a red flag. And I imagine that they have a huge family too. Like,
yeah.
Like they probably have, and we don't know if it's like her fifth cousin or like whatever.
That's true.
But I was also like, I wasn't that surprised that she calls her by her name, but it is weird. Sorry. Now I'm like going, but it is weird when like Jen has been like, she's your friend. And I'm always like, no, that's her cousin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get it twisted.
But I do feel like Heather's reaction when she got in Whitney's face was a cousin reaction. Like, no, you don't mess with my blood. Like she's the only person that she pushed back for like that.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot to unpack there. Also a lot to unpack with Meredith and Seth. Now, Meredith sliced Seth a banana and said, isn't that just incredible culinary art? And he said, you did that for me. I love the new Meredith. And then she offered to do it to a second banana. I
meant Seth.
Where are
banana?
Don't you love that culinary art? Where are we with Meredith and Seth? I'm at the point where I don't want to see them again. Like, I like Meredith in small doses, but I feel like their trajectory on the show has been so like hard to understand that it's like one of the least compelling things about it.
I'm suspect. I don't believe them. I think they're very bad actors, and I think they're both very attractive, but okay, this is probably gonna be controversial, but like I feel like I've been seeing, especially with the gays on Twitter and Instagram, people just riding for Meredith. And I think she's glam, and like her diamond mask was like shocking, and I was like, okay, that kind of saves her for me. But she didn't really bring much. She kind of just was like very Lana Del Rey. Like, you know, and like I was kind of like, where's this person you're all talking about?
Agreed. I think it's like the idea of something.
The idea of her is really cool.
Yeah. But it's she's not.
She had moments. Like, I'm disengaging from the conversation. Like that, her kind of pilled out camp and iconic. But other than that, I was like,
the first time when it happens three times, it loses some steam. It's not as iconic the third time.
I did like hearing her explain though on the episode before last, like where that comes from. I could at least work with like the reasoning behind the disengagement. If you're just saying like, I'm actually not going to do my job, I'm walking away, and I don't know why, then I'm like, what's happening here? But if you're going to give me a troubled childhood story, I'm into it.
Don't get me wrong, I loved seeing Meredith like saunter into the darkness of like a dimly lit lobby and just kind of gesture to like the air. Like that was I was into that. because that's like what I want to see. And just being like, I don't know what's going on. Like walking in a lot. Like I was all about that.
Yeah, she's very slinky.
I think that moment between them, to me, it just seemed really, like you said, fake, because I think it's like these are two people who aren't nice to each other pretending to be nice. I feel like it's something my parents would do. It's like, act like you still love each other. You know, it's like, and so it's like, that's what happens. But I think if you like leave that camera on for like 5 more minutes, we would have gotten a better reaction from them. So it seemed really fake to me. I think it's fake. And I think that her being around her family hurts Meredith more than it helps her. I think she should spend more time with the ladies and mixing in with them than with Seth.
I think Meredith as a friend of could really give us something to work with. No home time.
I'm not ready to friend of her yet.
No, and I hate this idea that friend of means like less. Because look at Marlo. That's bullshit.
No, but it does mean no home scenes.
That's true. Okay, yeah. Then okay.
Marlo and then Camille being demoted to friend of, she was the one that saved that one season.
Yeah. True.
That is true, actually.
And also,
yeah, I feel like friends of are like, you know, like what they say, like the same job, but like backwards and high heels. I think that's what you need from a friend of.
That's true. And also, there was one season where I think Luann was demoted to a friend of on New York, and it was her best, one of her best seasons. And I think she even made more because she got paid like per day.
Yeah, I have no problem with a friend of. If people are saying Seth is the problem and Brooks is the problem, there is a way to fix this. And that's making her a friend of.
I'm curious to see what all of them are like coming back next season, having now received the feedback from the fans and everything about how they act. I'm very, very curious to see if we get to see more of him, what Brooks is like next season.
I was excited because in a way I was like, oh, are we going to get like our first kind of like gay housewife? You know what I mean? And yeah. And it's like, but he's just really boring and he doesn't have a sense of humor.
No,
he got like, it honest.
I'm not saying every gay guy has to be like funny, but like, I just, you know, I think queer people just have a lot of but I don't know. They should have like, I don't know, but I guess it's represented. It's like, okay, he's hitting the boring gay. He's representing the boring gays, so maybe that's good visibility.
Do you think it's because maybe he's had a lack of adversity? Maybe, because I think that's what makes people interesting.
Usually. I agree with that. I think that's what I was trying to say. Is I think he doesn't seem like he's had a lot of challenges,
right?
And he's. I'm not saying the younger gays like don't go through bullying and pain and stuff like we all probably did, but like I think he doesn't seem like he ever had someone like name. I don't know, not saying someone needs to be bullied, but I'm like, maybe with Brooks. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want him.
You're right, now that I'm thinking about it, like maybe that's where
he was probably like popular in high school and like hung out with all the popular girls. The guys just didn't really mess with him.
Yeah.
And he just has no humor about himself. He takes himself so seriously and he's 21. It's like, come on, like you're supposed to be young and like kind of all over the place a little. And he's really like, and that when he was going off about Jen earlier and trying to create that weird rivalry between him and her. And I was like, it's your parents' friend. Like,
Don't get involved. No. Yeah. I wonder if like the lack of sense of humor is because he never had to come up with a defense mechanism, because maybe he had like an idyllic high school experience, which I mean, God bless and good for him.
Yeah, good. But, that means but, you're good, better, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I could, as a gay person who I had a great high school experience and nobody ever did anything to me. But I was like one of the only black people, so I guess that's where that came in. But I was never bullied. I've been like 6 foot since I was 8.
Yeah, I mean,
I do think adversity is a thing.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to be bullied. It just seems like he hasn't really been challenged in a way. I feel like people have always just been like, oh, Brooks, you're fabulous, like everywhere he goes. And then
here's a fashion show.
Yeah.
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 finally, fashion has come to Salt Lake City.
Oh my gosh. Not a lot to say here. I did enjoy seeing Whitney's dad in his element cutting hair. I thought it was a nice
soothing.
I thought it was nice to leave him, at least, like, I don't know what we're going to learn about him at the reunion. Seems like maybe he's struggling. I liked leaving this man this way in this season, seeing him like doing what he loves. I mean, he seemed great at it.
Yeah.
And I realized like how difficult it must be to have the biggest part of yourself as represented on a reality show be your demons. And I didn't realize like how nice it was to leave him in a little bit of a lighter space than everything that came before it. I thought that was sweet.
I also like, just cause I haven't really gotten a haircut in like a year. I was like, it looked really nice to get, like, I want to get my hair washed by him.
Yeah.
In front of a full class of people.
Yeah. That would be
better. You know, I forget. It blows my mind what white people do with the barber. I forget that they wash your hair. Like, I'm sorry. That's just, I forget that that happens. Like, the idea of my barber washing my hair is such a weird concept to me. But I can see that because he seemed very competent. But I love that Whitney loves her father so much. Like, that, it touches me. Like, she loves that man. And, you know, like, I have a father who struggled with addiction. And so, like, it's, I like to see it. And it's very honest of her to do it. But it's, I think if anything, like more than his addiction, I think it really says a lot that she continuously goes to bat for him. He had to do something to make her be willing to do that for him, I think.
Yeah. No, and I got sober and like I went through my own struggles, and it's always refreshing to see, you know, addiction portrayed accurately on a reality show, and especially when you see the effect it has on family and like the wreckage and redemption. Especially in like the eyes of a kid and their parent, like it was, Whitney was really strong and clearly has been through a lot of program herself and like therapy. So I just really appreciated her as well, just being there for him.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it was great. She's a sweetheart. And it was brave of them to kind of open up that story for us. But I think hopefully it can help people, but it was great to see. I'm curious as to like when we leave this season, who all to you has become like the housewife you were surprised to find yourself loving? Because for me, that person is Lisa. I think it was like mid-season, I started like really getting into her, just like commenting while she opened doors and stuff, and just like walking through her life, like narrating it. But the scene with her kids, and I wrote down a quote. She says, "I've created many moguls and I'm not sad about it." What, that's such an odd word to use, but she's not sad about it. I think she's doing everything right. Her solo scenes are hilarious. She's like making waves in friendships. I think she might have a better chance getting her younger son to calm down if she wasn't like giving him big gulps. The younger son makes me uncomfortable, and I just want to say that.
I love that kid.
You love him?
I love that kid. I think he's funny as hell. I would have a good time.
He gives me weird vibes.
Where we could, I play around. By the time I was done playing with him, he'd be knocked out sleep. Like, we do, we play Nerf. We do all kinds of stuff. Like, I think he's hilarious.
I feel the same exact way about Lisa. I like thought she was like kind of terrible at first, and then I think it was when it was Sundance hours and she was like off the clock parenting, and her kids like, and their babysitter tried calling her and she just refused to answer. And I just was like, I love that.
Yeah.
She's brazenly just like, work comes first sometimes. And like, was not trying to be like selling this thing of like, I'm the best parent. Like, she doesn't feed her kids home cooked meals. She's just always, and I just
drop through.
And yeah, and I actually think she's a good parent in her own way. And I think she's really funny. I too love her this door is heavy. Wow. You know, and
yes.
Like, and then, but I also think when she was talking to Jen and trying to calm her down and listening. She's actually a good friend. And I think she's very compassionate and has a huge heart and like actually cares about people. And like when Meredith dropped the bombshell that she and Seth have like dated other people, her face was really sad because I think she was hurt that this person she felt really close to didn't disclose this to her. And she felt like stung. Yeah. Because she's so honest. And I don't know. She's my favorite, actually, by the end of it.
I think she might... Like, I started off loving Heather, and I still love Heather, but there's something about, like, falling in love as you're going through the season. That, like, that's the one you leave the season loving more. Lisa might be my favorite, too. She's incredible. I think, like... I don't even think she's one to watch anymore, because I think we're watching her and she's here. Like her behavior at the reunion clips where she's like interrupting Andy and she's like, no, actually, we're not going to move on. I'm like, oh, we have a top tier housewife on our hands.
She was on her feet. I was like, why is she standing up?
We're not going to be friends with Jen. Like, she's doing it.
I also liked how we're playing Whitney in Vegas, like not answering the phone, only responding to Merritt. I was like,
incredible. Yeah. She's like, I'm here for work. I work in Vegas 4 times a week.
I can totally see why you like her. You like her so much because you can literally put her in the cast in New York. Both of you like her because she would fit great in New York. And that's what you both like about her. I hope you both know that.
I
like Lisa better than I thought I did, but I have a full-on crush on Heather. Like Heather, like I feel like I went on a couple of dates with Heather and now I'm like ready to like ask her to like hang out like full time.
And he's not lying. He uses the word I have a crush on Heather. That is spoken in our home often.
she's funny. Like I think she's gradually like maybe because I like her, like I feel like our styles like got better and better. Like I'm digging Heather. So
I think Heather. She would like you too. Yeah.
If history is any indication.
I love her too. She's probably, I think her and Lisa are probably my faves, but I was just floored by her flirting ability and her ability to just reel someone in and like in the best way possible. And just, she gets it done. And I was just like, wow. Like my jaw was dropped watching her just be so herself and just like, I'm ready.
Basically. She got game. She's speaking to me.
Heather game.
She does. Yeah,
she has swag for real.
She does. We have to talk about Mary at her church. Why did we get 97 episodes of Mary in her closet if we could have been filming her at church all the time? Incredible. Right. Incredible. The photo of Rosemary Cosby and Jesus. I mean, what a rendering. Just on the wall there. That was great. Mary's brazenness to just comment on who's gaining weight and who needs to lose it and how they should. I've never seen anything like it. She's obsessed with people's weight.
And drinking water.
Yeah. That was the same exact phrasing. You need to drink water. Why is her diet bad? That's the same exact phrasing she used when she was in her confessional talking about Jen's aunt who had her legs amputated. She said, why are you gaining weight? You need to eat better, drink water. Then she turned to a man who was like larger and said, you look great.
She said he looked healthy. And she said healthy in a way like saying, you need to stop getting that. Don't get any more healthy than you are. There's an element. I know that woman. I know what she was saying. You've never been around a Southern. There's a certain kind of Southern woman who has no patience for overly large people. And these are the women that come up to you, you know, look at you, just as big as you want to be. This is what I'm talking about. There is a...
But why did he get healthy and the other guy got diet tips?
Because I think there's a certain amount of allowance. Like sometimes some people are just big boned, whereas other people should lose weight. I think maybe that other guy is like, you big, you always going to be big. So we're going to allow you a little bit. But this dude over here, why are you gaining weight? So I think it's kind of, there's a method to her madness here. Now she's mad overall and I can't explain that, but I do think there's a method to that madness.
I feel like, I mean, cause I recapped Salt Lake City on Sexy Unique podcast. And we just talk about like just being deprived of Mary this season. And just like, I don't know if they filmed her stuff like a year, because I know that the timing was all over the place with this. And I don't know if they filmed her like a year in advance or something. Like she didn't leave her room.
Right.
And when she was in her church, she was like away from, she was kind of like, I feel like at her most her. And I liked seeing that. And I liked when she brought some of the women into her church. Like that was really, and then I thought Mary brought a lot of the drama and like the stakes at Osteria Valter. I love when she goes, Valter's now upset. I wanted more of her because she would have brought goods. And I don't know like how much did we get cut? Like how much, it's very mysterious.
Yeah. If we were going to film Mary away from the group, I feel like the church is the way to do it. Her in that closet and FaceTiming family members didn't give us anything.
No. And let's jump ahead to the end, to the party. Who is producing this show? Why did no one make sure that at least Meredith and Lisa, why did no one approach Mary about what she said about those women being scared of Jen? They were all at that party and it was like, it never happened. Like that would have been, even if that party wasn't the right place for it and the women were like not going to do it out of respect for Heather, that is something that we should have seen on a finale. Like, what are they doing? Why didn't they do this?
It'd be like there was a lot of time between when that happened, because like time is all over the place. Like even when in this last episode where Mary FaceTimes her husband, there's a drastic weight loss between the last time we saw him. Like he looks like he's lost like maybe 50 pounds since then. So maybe. I don't know. Maybe I could see like with the new production company, maybe they didn't pick up that or they used what they had. I don't know. I think maybe that might be part of it.
Yeah.
It seemed like such a big thread to just have suddenly dropped.
I was so shocked because I know other people knew that it had been filmed over like a period of 2 years, but I was just expecting COVID to hit. And like COVID's looming, like, and then there was one episode where Jen's son is like sick and can't get out of bed, and I was like, he must have COVID. and then I was told no, this was like 2 years ago, and I was like, oh, it just really threw me. Yeah,
looking at these drinks. Did you see those drinks at the party that were like cotton candy, and then they were pouring in the liquor or whatever they were pouring in? I got a headache just looking at those drinks being served.
Hangover.
Yeah.
Somebody else had those somewhere else. Didn't somebody have those at a party like in Dallas or something? Like I saw somebody with that before, I want to say.
I've had one before.
Like I think it was
at the Sugar Shack.
I think it was like at like something for Leanne. Wasn't it like some kind of like themed thing?
Or engagement party.
Yeah. So I was like, for me, that's what it made me think of. Cause I was like, oh, that's cool. Like I hate cotton candy, but I would drink that.
What is it, just like vodka going on cotton candy?
I thought it was champagne.
Champagne.
What is happening with Heather's ex-husband?
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you.
But like, he does not look, I don't know if he's like, if he has, but like, he looks really different from the photos of them.
Yeah, very different.
He just seems really like fried. And I don't know. I'm not trying to like speculate anything, but I'm like, what is going on with him? And I hate to be like, I think it feels like no one wants to say that he looks like a zombie.
I thought he went vegan.
It could be.
Wait a minute. You know, he's vegan?
I thought maybe like, you know, like whenever I see somebody who's like way thinner than I've seen them before and it looks like they're not necessarily sick, because I don't think he looks really sick.
No, it's not sick. It's like a...
Okay.
Maybe it is vegan.
Wait, before we move on, we're going to go around. I'll go last. Donnie, who's the most attractive Salt Lake husband?
Oh, boy. Not this guy.
This has been a controversy on this show, Carrie.
I'll go with Seth and Coach Shaw.
Seth.
Sharif and Lisa's husband. I want to sit on his lap. And I know it doesn't, no one, I don't.
No, you answered the way he wanted you to answer.
Thank you, Carrie. I have not been bullied since middle school the way I have on this program. I'm just kidding.
That's your first lie.
I think
he wanted you to be funny. We thought if we bullied you, you'd be...
I think John, you're trying to like bully the humor out of me. I think John Barlow's hot. I'll die on that hill.
No, he, I'll say it again, and nobody knows what Doonesbury is, but I don't care. Is that what it's called? John Barlow and Lisa's ex-husband look like the Doonesbury cigarette.
Heather's ex-husband.
Who did I say?
I know you have a huge dick, and that's what I'm and I know it's big, and that's, I just know, I feel it in my bones.
Okay, that's enough.
Carrie, it feels really nice to be validated. Thank you.
But I also think Sharif is sexy.
Yeah, Sharif, Seth.
So he's sexy to me and hot, and like him and Jen are hot together.
I agree.
That dancing scene was hot.
Mm-hmm. It was hot. And as I said, you know, I like bottom, so that's why I picked Seth.
Wow. Also controversial, I liked Meredith's mask.
Oh, I wish I could throw my water in your face. No.
I liked the mask. I liked it. I didn't like it for that party in Salt Lake, but like it could have been something fun somewhere else. You know what I mean?
I like when she like took her off. She went like this. Lisa went, "Can you take that off right now?
Could you take that off? Like, I'm trying to talk to you."
And then Meredith went like this. She's really playful. And I was like, she's fully in. She's channeling.
I like when Mary had a confessional about it. And she said, "Do I get it?" No.
She goes, "Don't wear that again." I like when Mary gets in it. I like when she's like shady.
Yeah.
Whitney's confessional with the mask on her face for everything. Like, it's high fashion. You wouldn't understand.
If I saw... I'm not like I appreciated it. I didn't like it, but if I saw her on the street, I would be very scared. Like if I saw someone like going like that, like a block away from me.
Yeah, it's very like Silent Hill.
It is.
Like the nurses.
Yeah.
It's I thought it was a bit much. Like I said, if Rihanna had wore it, I'd be like, great.
Oh yeah. Not the right place or the right time. I mean,
or the right person.
I feel like I see Meredith with the mask on somewhere else. It makes sense, but it does not make sense at Heather's beauty lab reopening in Salt Lake City.
She should award to Mary's Met Gala thing. That's what she should award.
The theme would have made sense.
Have any of you seen the movie Safe with Julianne Moore?
Yes, love it.
There's this one character who's just always lurking in the background with a full bodysuit on and a mask over his face because he's afraid of being sick, and that's what he reminded me of.
I was confused with the fight between Jen and Heather. I feel like they were not saying things, or maybe it was like off-camera dealings. It was very like, I've never said the phrase like have my back or show up to my friend, like who, like are those words that people are saying? And on a reality show, I did not understand like what the subtext was. Like, what was Heather referring to? Jen doesn't show up for her. What does that mean?
I think she doesn't. I don't think Jen is like that good of a friend to Heather. And I think Heather was like, I don't think Heather feels secure with her as a friend. Like, I think she feels like, I mean, she said it. She's like, I always feel like you're going to leave me as a friend. And I don't think Jen brings her that, like when you have like your closest friends, you just have that like unconditional security that you feel like no matter what, you're going to wake up the next day and they're going to be your friend. I don't think Heather has that with Jen. And I don't think Jen really has that with a lot of people. I mean, I do like Jen, despite all like I didn't like her hitting Heather, but like I don't think Jen is capable of like being there for everyone consistently. And I think that's what that's what I thought Heather was trying to tell her.
That makes sense. I guess I wanted specifics. I wanted like when Lisa was like, you have to tell her what you're saying. Like I wanted to hear something like juicy, I guess.
I think that it also was like, I don't think that's like really in character for Heather to do. Mm-hmm. And when Heather like really confronted her with how she felt, I think that was like, you know, a combination of a lot of different things, probably things we saw, things we didn't see. And I think that's just the way it came out. And she wasn't able to like really probably be as clear about it. But I got what I think she meant. And I think Jen did too, really.
Yeah, I do
ultimately.
Too.
Yeah, Jen seemed to be like handling the apologies on like a case by case basis. Like the apology to Meredith was very like sincere and like, I love you. I'm sorry I did this. Like very much like, let me back into your good graces. And to Whitney, it was, if her confession in her confessional, she's basically like, I'm saying this because it's what you want to hear. I want to move on. And I don't know. I'm curious to see like how Jen behaves at the reunion and how she'll like navigate these friendships.
She does. Season. That's so true. She does really have like a, almost like a caste system of how she like with Heather, she's herself, mm-hmm. even though mm-hmm. she doesn't appreciate mm-hmm. Heather. Cause I think she knows Heather will be there for her. So she kind of treats her like anything. And with Meredith, she's like her and Lisa represent some other like social strata for her or something. So she,
I agree. I mean,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, Whitney's like kind of negligible to her. I love that she demanded that apology from Jen. She was like, whatever, this, that, the other, you're going to apologize to me. I'm going to keep pressing. You're going to say you're sorry to me. And afterwards, I liked that they laughed. It was very much like with me and my friends, like, we can be cool after this, but you're going to apologize. You're going to do it right now because I need you to. And I really liked that for them. It made me want to, I want them to work out their friendship because of that, because that seemed real to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. And I was really interested in where I felt Meredith was actually being more of her real self. Seeing Meredith and Lisa kind of have like a little tension and a little like confrontation was interesting to me. And Meredith kind of revealed the kind of friend she is, where she was like, I'm not going to tell you who you can be friends with, which is code for you can't be friends with her. And she does it. And like Lisa seemed kind of afraid. And like seemed nervous. And I was like, whoa, this is a side of Meredith we haven't really seen. Like the facade cracked, I think, because Meredith was so butthurt at Lisa being friends with Jen and like being there for her. And I think it was, but I actually liked seeing that because I was like, this is the real Meredith, mm-hmm. you know? And like,
she felt safe behind that mask.
So that was really interesting because I feel like that was another side of the Lisa Meredith dynamic that we don't see, is that Meredith probably controls Lisa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so, I don't think Meredith really has anything in her life she doesn't control.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a very tightly wound person.
And Brooks is the same way.
Yeah.
Okay, last thing for Salt Lake. What do we want? Like, what do you want to see more of next season? Like, what didn't they tap into enough? Like, I want to see Whitney's home life with her husband. That was like, we didn't see a blip of that.
They're so horny.
They are horny.
No, but they just have that like
being
vodka out of water bottle energy, you know. I kept thinking like, because Potomac's first season was like, I think the Potomac characters were more immediately compelling than these women in a lot of ways, but the first season kind of was a little like tepid, and then it got like incredible. So I'm hoping that Utah will follow that same trajectory, where now Potomac is like my be all end all. And I just like, it's like my favorite. But it took like one or two seasons to really get there. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping Salt Lake City will follow that path in my belief. So I just want to see more Mary, more Meredith being without Brooks. And I want to see maybe a new housewife, like bring in just a new person. Like they're still new enough where they can do that.
Yeah.
Shake it up in the beginning. And I want to see them go to somewhere that's not Vegas. I want to see them go like international and more into Mormon stuff. That's what I want to see.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely. And I want Jen to calm down a little bit.
Yeah. I don't want Jen to hit people anymore.
Yeah. Quinn, what do you want?
I'd like to see, I can fight through my jealousy. I like to see how they're dating people. I'll allow that. I like to see more of Whitney's home life also. And I would like to see, I want to see more of Mary at her church. I want to see like, I am fascinated by how people are willing to pay money to be treated that way. And so I want to see how far she goes talking to those people and like into their lives and all that stuff. That was like, to me, that was the best I've seen Mary. Like I think she's a compelling character because she's mad. She's absolutely mad. But I love seeing that. So I want to see more of the church. And I would like to see more of Meredith being revealed to be the mean girl that she really is. It might make me like her more.
That would be fun. Yeah, it would definitely be more compelling than this like non-engagement policy that she seems to be passing around. Okay. Final thoughts on anything we talked about? Dallas, Salt Lake.
I like that DeAndre's tried to be more funny because it's very dark and unsettling. It's like a ghost making a joke. It's very chilling. I love it. Her mind goes to somewhere dark and she's just cracking up. I love that. I think that's great. I love this new side of DeAndre and I'm happy about that.
So she's haunted.
I mean, a joke for your friend is putting your friend's head on a stick.
Yeah. Like,
give me more of that. Right in my veins. Come on.
That is upsetting.
I think because her hairline looks like Eddie Munster, she's confused as to what
Dracula. She's on. Yeah. Dracula, that's what it's like, yeah.
Did anyone notice that they went to a reaction shot of Captain Brandy when they went around the table for everyone and Carrie was talking about her daughter's depression?
Yeah, they did.
I was like, how fucking dare you?
I love her daughter. I think her daughter is
hilarious. That was a wild choice.
Wow. No, that's so true about the, like, she is like that weird, like, sheltered rich kid who's like, makes it really, she's like, or something, and you're like, all right.
My final thought is, I think Carrie Brittingham is one of the worst housewives on any, on any of these cities ever. My molecular energy changes when I watch her. She makes me so angry. I can't get into it. We don't have time. I just don't like watching her. She's a hypocrite. She's just two-faced. A hypocrite.
She's two-faced.
She got Leanne fired for racism and she's white. You know what? I'm going to let that go. Leanne was wrong in some ways, but like that. And if to turn around.
I don't think what Leanne did was anything she couldn't come back from.
If we're going to brush what Brandy did under the rug after crying about it for an episode, Leanne could have done that too. A producer just needed to tell Leanne, cry about it for an episode and then you're fine.
Yeah. And this, that is,
I'm going to tell you, I would be more angry at catching Brandy doing a step and fetch it just because than Leanne getting mad at me saying, oh, I thought you was a strong black man. What about all that? I know it sounds weird, but that to me, is worse. I feel like what Brandy did was worse. I'm sorry.
I agree.
Because I'm sure she has impressions for everybody. She has a black man impression. I'm sure she does all of that.
That was a glimpse into what her normal home life is like. Whereas what we saw from Leanne, which while not, it wasn't great, I feel like was Leanne like angered and frustrated. Whereas what we just got a snapshot of what's happening in Brandy's house all the time.
Yep.
I agree. And I think obviously what Leanne said was like wrong and like probably and bad, but I also
it was,
but at the same time, I think that can be true. And also I felt like Leanne in general though, seemed very tolerant and like open-minded and not at least for where they were. And like of all the women, I felt like she was more in real about how the world was. And I agree with you. I think Brandy, what she did was so much more outright crude and unforgivable.
Yeah.
And it's shocking that she's allowed back after doing that. And yeah. So I'm with you.
And my last thing I'll say is I think that it's very odd and weird because like had Brandy done that pretending to be a black person, she would have absolutely been fired. I don't like the fact that because I feel she did it mocking an Asian person, she was able to stay. I think that is total bullshit. And that's the last thing I'll say about that.
That's true.
That's true.
Very true.
Know that.
All right. Well, not a happy or positive note that we're leaving on, but I think we did it. And this was great. Carrie, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
That was awesome. Awesome.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was. It was a pleasure. Please come back. Carrie, at the beginning I said, and I meant it, it wasn't just like podcast host bullshit, but you're truly one of like the funniest people on social media. Where's your humor come from? Like, why are you really funny and not just
I'm just kidding. That's really nice. I'm just like unemployed and have time in my hands. So I'm just like, I think just, I just like seeing humanity in people, and I always just like trying to find where that is. And I like people being I think we're all like kind of desperate sometimes and like wanting to connect. And I think there's a lot of humor in that and empathy in that. So that sounds so corny, but
that sounds great. And like,
I've always been like on to that and like serving people. And like, I love like places like Ross, where I grew up going to like Ross and Marshall's and like, Burlington Coat Factory and like being on errands.
Americana, true Americana.
And just like hiding in the coat racks of like stuff, you know, that stuff always is like kind of where my roots are, and being in my mom's car, listening to like Amy Grant, Vanessa Williams, Christmas albums.
You're so, so funny. Where can people follow you if they aren't already?
Ecario on Instagram and Twitter.
Please go do that. You won't regret it. Yes. And listen to Sex Unique Podcast. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Thank you so much, Carrie. Thank you again for coming on. Please come back. We'll have to have you on again when Potomac is back, since it's your favorite.
Yes.
All right. All right.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you again, Carrie. Bye. We are seeing a shift with Housewives, and I think it hit me during our conversation today. You know, with Wendy, with Tiffany, we have some upcoming Housewives who are in their own right accomplished. And I think Bravo is trying to finally change what it means to be a real housewife. And I'm excited for that and what they've done so far and what's to come. Know that. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to support the show, be sure to visit buymeacoffee.com/knowthatpod. If you want to join in on discussions about the episodes as they air in real time, or see what snarky things we have to say about the shows we love, follow us on Instagram and Twitter @knowthatpod. You can follow me, Anthony, @AnthonyFCasella on Instagram.
You can follow me, Donnie, @RealDonnieWood on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can follow me, @QuentinLamar on Twitter.
Bye.
Bye.
See you.